Well, let's pray now. Father, we thank you and praise you for anointing our ears to hear, anointing my mouth to speak the living word of God, that these people would receive truth, instruction in righteousness, faith, peace, joy, wisdom, understanding, and most importantly, Lord, they would know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I want to give a disclaimer. If you've been coming to this church less than 6 months, and there's a lot of new people here. First of all, make sure you tell me your name over and over and over. I want to know your name. It just takes me a little bit to know your name. So if I don't know your name, I don't get it right away. Don't throw a tomato at me. Just help me. But I will take time. I'll know your name. I'll know your kids' names. But it just takes time, okay? But I am today going to be teaching on a subject that can be sore for people, and that is the subject of money. And I just want to talk to you for just a moment and let you know, hey, maybe sometimes people have hang-ups when a pastor would talk about money. I don't want you to judge our entire church by this one message, okay? Now, I believe this message on money is going to be pretty good, okay? I believe it's going to build a lot of faith. It's going to be helpful. But what I don't ever want you to do is walk out of here, A, feeling like you got beat up, B, feeling condemned. We don't want any of that, okay? So I just put a caveat. I'm putting this out there. This is what I believe the Bible says, but I'm not going to demand that you do this or that. I'm just going to throw this out here, okay? And I want to be as gentle as possible, as loving as possible, but at the same time, we do have to teach these truths of the Word of God, okay? And see, many people, most people spend a large portion of their life trying to acquire money. You have to go to work 40, 50 hours. Some of you went to college for 4 years or 6 years so you could have your job and just to go to college. Some of you are still paying for college so you could have a job, okay? So you invested $100,000 or $150,000 just so you could get the type of job in the field you want, and then you have to apply 40 to 50 hours a week for that job just so at the end of every week or every 2 weeks you get a check or a direct deposit, okay? And so we spend so much time in our lives dealing with money, and money is one of the greatest it's one of the greatest stress factors in marriage. Money, the limitation of money, poverty, is not a good thing. It's not healthy when parents can't provide their children with nourishment. It's not healthy, okay, when parents can't buy their kids school supplies. All right, those are things I believe we need. When we get a biblical mindset of money, it will help us in our families, our marriages, and it will help us to preach the gospel to the world. Okay, and that is our calling as a church. And sometimes we need to readjust our mindset of a church. Church is a hospital. It is where broken people can come and receive healing. But it's so much more than a hospital. The hospital was one ministry of the church, okay? It's also an outpost of the gospel. It is the facilitator of the Great Commission to go into all the world preaching the gospel. And folks, that takes money. And one of the greatest limitations we have in the body of Christ for preaching the gospel is finances, okay? So I want to give you a biblical mindset. And even by the end of this, I want to challenge some of you, not everybody, but some of you need to be believing God to start your own business. Some of you need to be believing God for increase in your lives, because you're here, and we're going to find that to do what God's placed in your heart, you got to be here. I mean, how much more can we do for Christ with more money? Amen. And so that's where we're at. I just want to give you my heart behind that. And as you're hearing this, just know This is not what I can get out of you. This is what I can put into you. All right, so let's pray. Lord, we already prayed. Never mind. You know, one of our volunteers this morning, you know how our volunteers wear name tags? Isn't that awesome? I love that they do that. One of our volunteers this morning pulled her debit card out and was trying to put her debit card on for her name tag. I was so blessed that I realized I'm not the only one who has two left feet from time to time. I was blessed. So we have a recession looming. Some people say we're already in it. Some say it's coming. But bottom line, there are economic cycles. And I want you to have the faith that God would want you to have, provided either A, we go into some type of cycle of recession, or B, if you were to have a financial need, a financial disaster. There are times people lose jobs unexpectedly. There are times people have medical needs that come up that are just unexpected. I want you to be able to, when life hands you something unexpectedly terrible, I want you to have the faith of God already on the inside of you that you are ready for that challenge, okay? And three biggest obstacles we face when it comes to money. Number one is a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. I want to help you. There are two really awesome books you can read. If you've struggled with money, if you grew up in poverty like I did, two books that changed my life, number one, The Millionaire Next Door, and number two, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Those two books are amazing. They will change your life. If you read The Millionaire Next Door and you apply that to your life, you're going to find out that that $5 cup of Starbucks coffee is doing a lot more damage than you think it is. Okay? And so those are just two books. If you've struggled with money, if money's not your strong suit, you got to educate yourself. Okay? And I can't give you everything. I mean, here in church, I get 45 minutes at the most, okay? Sometimes I steal an extra five, but that's all I got, okay? But spend some time getting knowledge. Number two, lack of vision. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. I want to give you a vision that's biblical. I want you to see yourself as the sons and daughters of God, that God is your provider. I want you to see yourself as you are the Good Samaritan that Jesus talked about in Luke's gospel. And in that Good Samaritan, when they came across a need, he had more than enough money in his bank account to be able to meet the needs of that Good Samaritan. I want you to be the Good Samaritan. I want you to be living your life so that when you encounter a financial need, you have enough to help somebody else. Amen. Okay, so. And thirdly is lack of pursuit. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:4, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. You know, another place in Ecclesiastes, it says, he who observes the wind shall not sow. If you're waiting for all the conditions to be right before you start a business, if you're waiting for everything to be right, before you step out in faith to honor God, the conditions are never going to be just right, okay? People say, well, the interest rates are up. Well, sure, okay. There's this. Well, there's a recession coming, sure. And before it was because this person's president. Before it was because, well, we're at war with Afghanistan, or because there's always reasons not to step out in faith. But at some point, you have to realize that God is for His people. I haven't taught it yet, but Isaac, we're going to get to this here in a couple weeks. Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, he sowed in a time of famine. And in the same year, he reaped 100-fold. Listen, there's an anointing of increase on you. Why? Because Jesus lives on the inside of you. Jesus is the greatest investor the world has ever known. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. That is the greatest return on investment in the history of mankind. Jesus gave himself and he's reaping billions of souls to this day. Jesus is an investor. So today, just a quick review. Number one, is money good or evil? We discovered that money in and of itself is neither good nor evil. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. But money is merely a tool. It depends on how we use it. Number two, what is God's will for our finances? This is the one I want to drill into you. There's a preponderance of evidence, what I would call. God's will is for us to be blessed so we can be a blessing. 3 John 2, above all things, brethren, or beloved, above all things, I pray that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Ladies and gentlemen, that it doesn't get any more clear than that. Now, I've had people say, but pastor, what about, you know, there were poor people in the Bible. Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. Yeah, that's true. You can be one of those if you want to. Can I help you with something? I mean this lovingly. And don't take offense if you've ever, if I'm addressing something that's important to you. I may just step on your holy cow, your sacred cow. Is that all right? Every now and then, a lot of people like to point to the thief on the cross that died beside Jesus. Say, well, that thief on the cross, you know, he never went to church, never gave an offering, never served in church, never led anybody to Christ. He wasn't baptized, didn't do nothing, and he still made it to heaven. And you're absolutely right, and I love that because it is only by grace that we're saved. Amen. But last I checked, unless the Bible's changed since last time I read it, the thief on the cross died 2 hours later. Are you dead? Are you dead? So you alive. So don't compare yourself to a dead person. Amen. Now, by grace, you got saved. Amen. You are saved. Only by grace, you're saved. Praise God. You know Jesus. You've accepted grace. You're going to heaven. Isn't that great? Amen. Save the wretch like me. Hallelujah. You know, the other day I was telling Sarah, she's old enough now. She's starting to hear dad stories. She had no idea that I was on a first name basis with the local sheriff. And we were telling her the other day, her mouth hit the table and she was like, I can't believe that. Dad, you're a pastor. Didn't used to be. Told her some of our escapades. And she just couldn't believe it. We're saved by grace. Man, grace saved a wretch like me. But I'm not dead. And because I'm not dead, there's a calling on my life. Because you're not dead, there's a calling on your life. You've been called with a holy calling. You've got purpose. You've got destiny. There's things that God wants to do in you and through you. You're part of the body of Christ. We're called to reflect the praise of him who saved us out of darkness. Amen. So when it comes to, you know, people say, well, Pastor Matt, you know, there were poor people in the Bible. Yeah, for a season. But those who lived they didn't stay that way. Now, some of the disciples, yeah, they struggled a little bit. Why? Because they were martyred. They were martyred. Last I checked, I'm not concerned right now, at least for this year, of Nazis coming through those doors and arresting us and killing us for preaching the gospel. Is anybody concerned about that today? No. Now, I am concerned there's some Nazis on social media and those social media sites, host platforms, that are listening to our sermons and looking to censor us and all that kind of stuff, and it's already happened. Praise God, it'll continue to happen, but they're not going to come in here and haul us off to jail for that. So we have a different life. So let's not compare ourselves to situations that are apples and oranges. Does that make sense? So let's take the preponderance of Scripture above all things, brethren, I pray that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:12, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. That's the will of God, that you lack nothing. How do you walk properly toward those that are outside? It's called pay your bills. Deuteronomy 18, God speaking, says, I'll give you the power to get wealth that you may establish my covenant. If wealth was a dirty thing, why would God give us the power to get it? Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. If having your needs met, why would God do it? Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Listen, It's hard if you're all you can see every day is poverty. It's hard to see a future. It's hard to have hope when you don't have any hope. Luke 4:18, Jesus speaking, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, what's good news to the poor? It's not that God wants you to be poor and you're going to be poor all your life. Good news to a poor person is there's hope. And Malachi 3:10, we'll just cover here in a little bit. Last week, we brought up two girls up here, Reagan and Sarah. One of them we dressed up wealthy, one of them we dressed up poor. And they were 14-year-old girls, and we pretended, we just said, hey, my question is, if you see this 14-year-old girl who comes across as wealthy, is she wealthy because of how great she is, or is her provision a reflection of her parents? And everybody said, parents. And the same thing is true for the girl that was dressed up in rags. Is her poverty a reflection of her doing poorly in life, or is it a reflection of her parents? And we say her parents. And so just trying to help this us understand, we are the children of God. God provides our needs. God identifies himself as, I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord God, self-sufficient, who provides for you. God is who he is. He can't help but to be who he is. He is provider. So our provision is a reflection of the provision of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says that those who do not provide for their own household are worse than an infidel. Amen. I'm so proud of the single dads we have in this church. I'm telling you what, we've got some great single dads in this church. You guys have worked hard. Our dads that you're from blended families. I'm telling you what, I am so proud of the men in this church that go above and beyond to pay child support. I'm proud of the men in this church that stay involved in your kids' lives. I am so proud of you. Listen, I'm a living witness, and there are many others just like me who didn't have that, who had a dad who was absent, who had a dad who didn't want to stay involved, who had a dad that didn't pay child support, and we watched our family suffer. And let me tell you something, for you dads out there that week in, week out, you're involved in your kids' life, there's a few of you, you had to take things to court just so you could be involved in your kids' life. Let me tell you something, you're awesome. You are just awesome. And I couldn't, there's just some things as a pastor that make you proud of your people, and that's just one of them. Amen. You guys that go above and beyond like that, and you've stayed involved and you've stayed connected, even when you had the opportunity not to, and you stayed in it, man, that is the heart of a father. That's the father's heart reflected in you. And I just want to say to those of you, well done. And sometimes, you know, we honor single mothers, and they do get our hearts, especially when we know they're struggling. But let me tell you, there's a lot of dads who've had to struggle to be able to make child support. There's a lot of dads who had to struggle to pay those attorney fees. And I'm proud of you. So proud of you. So keep it up. That brings us to last week. God has a system. The world has a system. 1 John 2:17 in your bulletins. I have it wrong. I have it as 2 John. It's 1 John 2:17. The world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. This world system is broken. It's going to pass, but God has a system. Genesis 8, verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. This world system, the rich will get richer, the poor will get poorer. This world system is not a fair system. I've heard people say, you know, well, so-and-so got promoted over me, and it was because of politics or because of that, this, the other. Yeah, that happens. This world's not fair. I've seen people get fired, and it wasn't fair. I've seen people people say it still happens now, but I know there were times back in the early part of the last century, like the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s of the last century, people would work all their life for a company, build up a pension, and be fired right before they were of age to cash in on that pension. And that was just the company's way of keeping that money. And this, it's not fair. It's not a fair system. one of the worst things you can ever teach your kids is that life is fair. Teach your kids life is not fair. Man, I was thanking God for this. You know, we've had a great experience for the most part at our school system, raising our kids in our school system. We've got some great teachers, but there's also some teachers that are not so great. And can I tell you something? I'm just as thankful for those as I am for the ones that are great. I think I'm more thankful for the ones that are great, I guess. But ultimately, the ones that aren't great, the ones that aren't fair, praise God. Don't be the Karen that comes into the office complaining all the time. Well, they aren't fair to my kids. Don't be that. Make your kids deal with it. But my little kid, I have to defend them. Yeah, and if you have that mentality, you'll be defending them when they're 30. Teach them to deal with it. Life ain't fair. Well, they didn't get as much playing time as they should have. I understand. Yeah. The whole concept of sports, I mean, can it be political? Yeah. Is the coach going to play his son or daughter's friends over the one who's better? Yeah. Why? Because they're human. And life's not fair. And the sooner your kids learn that, the better they're going to be. Because most kids aren't going to make it in pro sports. But most kids are going to live their days out, and they need to learn how to operate in this system. Now, thank God we have a better system. But we need to teach them how to operate in this system, too. And it ain't fair. Now, God's system is fair. God's system is fair. And when we talk about God's economic system, it goes by sowing and reaping. And that's where we're picking it up today. And the reason I'm going back and drilling down these every week, I want these to get on the inside of you. I want you to have these deep-rooted inside of you. Because when trouble comes, when calamity comes, and it will, I want you not to panic. I've seen Christians panic. I've seen Christians flail their arms and it's just like they get hit with some pressure and it's like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Oh my. Man, that does not reflect the character of God. Amen. I want this deep down inside of you. When you get hit, when the winds blow, when the storms come, I want you to be, you've built your house on the rock, and when those winds come and when those storms come, you're going to be like, well, I don't really like this, but at the end of the storm, I'm still going to be standing. Amen. I'd take a sunny day on the beach any day over a rainy and stormy one. All right, four types of sowing. I'm going to mention these, and then we're going to come back and start unpacking them. Number one, the tithe, that measures your obedience. That's 10%. Number two, the offering, that measures your generosity. Number three, the sacrifice, that's a measure of our love. And number four, the seed, that's a measure of our faith. Okay, there's four types of offerings if you're keeping notes. Tithe, a measure of your obedience. Offering, a measure of generosity. The sacrifice, a measure of our love. And the seed is a measure of our faith. I'm going to come back and teach those over the next couple weeks. But today, I want to hit four levels of vision for your finances. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. So let me help you with vision today. And if there's time, we'll start talking about the tithe. I doubt if there's going to be time. Four levels of vision for your money. You have to have vision. If you can't see it, you're not going to get it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Today, my number one goal is to get these levels of vision on the inside of you to help you see, hey, I need to see money correctly. All right, number one level of vision is for today. A vision for the next 24-hour period. Our scripture for this is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And could you put that up for me, Dwayne? For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Next verse. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Number 12, now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. I like how it says work in quietness. Amen. You know what Paul was saying here? He's saying, quit being a drama queen. He's saying, go to work, close your mouth, and produce something. Amen. That's what he said. Read it. Go to work. He says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, there's a lot of folks that have mastered that. But that's the only level of vision you have. So the first level of vision is you work so you have provision for today or for this month's bills. You're only seeing life in terms of what is your immediate need. What is this month's bills? Man, this level of vision, it's good because there's a lot of people who don't even have that level of vision. Okay, I don't think I would have to preach for very long for folks to recognize that some of our social service systems by our government are broken. Okay, now, does that mean that we need to do away with them all? Absolutely not. We need those. I'm for those programs. But I'm for balance and fairness and which... Take my own message. Yeah, right. Man, if you really want to screw something up bad, get the government involved. But there are people, now there's a difference between can't work and won't work. Listen, I'm glad we live in a country that has Social Security. I know that sometimes people think that's bad, but listen, ladies and gentlemen, there are people that are permanently disabled, and it's real. We want to have mercy and compassion for that. We don't want, when did Christians become these folks that would push our wounded off on an iceberg or off on a shifting piece of ice and just let nature take its course? We're not those people. We're a people of compassion and mercy. Now, do I think the system gets abused? Yes, it does. But man, I'm glad there's something. And I don't want to look down on people that are disabled. Does that make sense? We need to have great compassion. And there might be times people need a break. We hit a recession, like back in the 1930s, a depression, and we didn't have safeguards in place, and people were getting evicted out of their houses, and There's children and families living in cardboard boxes in America. We don't want that. That's not, who would want that? We need to have compassion, okay? So I understand our economic system needs fixed, but don't fix it to the extreme where you're letting people die of starvation. Does that make sense to everybody? We got to find balance. Now, I think we're way out of balance one way, but here's our vision. This is for you. There's folks that are only motivated by living paycheck to paycheck. They're motivated by this month's, I need $27.49.38 so I can have all my bills met this month. And that's all they're thinking about. Thank God you're working. But if that's the only level of your vision, you're going to perish long term. Long term, that level of vision is going to lead to poverty. You're never going to get ahead. Now, here's where people take the Bible out of balance. Well, Pastor Man, I thought we were to ask for daily bread. Doesn't that mean we shouldn't? You know, Jesus said, give no thought for tomorrow, right? So, sometimes people think, well, I shouldn't have life insurance. Sometimes people say, I shouldn't have any type of insurance. I shouldn't have savings accounts. The Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus was making a single point about not being a worrywart. Don't take that and put words into his mouth or implications into his mouth. He did not, because the preponderance of Scripture teaches otherwise. Let's go to the second level of vision. For a lifetime. Proverbs chapter 6. I love this. Can we put this on the board here? Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 8. King Solomon's writings here. He says, go to the ant, you sluggard. I mean, how would you like me to address you? Hey, you bunch of lazy bums. That's how he's opening this up here. Hey, you bunch of lazy bums, you sluggards. He says, look at the ant. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Now, this is the Bible teaching this. It says, look at the ant, you lazy bums. He said, when it's summertime, the ant saves up so that in the wintertime, the ant doesn't starve to death. So, lazy bums, I'm teasing, you know I don't feel that way. But let's look at this. The Bible is saying, have some provision set back. When it's summer, when the harvest is in. Now, our winter and summer might look different during your working lifetime. Or you get a big chunk of money. You know, sometimes people have already spent their tax return before they ever get it. And people living paycheck to paycheck are just waiting for that tax return to come in so they can get a few more bills caught up, or they can go buy that one thing. And we're so consumer-driven that we don't have our vision is just for that sparkly thing we want on Amazon right now. But we need to get a vision that goes beyond our needs just today. Let me give you a word of prophecy. Okay. Brother, what's your name? You're in the plaid shirt right there, the brown. Alec, I have a word for you. Have we talked extensively before? I don't know you, right? So if I'm gonna give you a word of prophecy, it's gotta be really on, right? Here's a prophecy for you. You own a car? At some point in the next 20 years, that car is going to break down. I'm joking, Alec. That was not a word from God, okay? Thank you for playing along. Now I'll remember your name. Let me give you a word. In the next 20 years, your car is going to break down. In the next 20 years, your water heater is going to go out. In the next 20 years, thou shalt have a major appliance failure. In the next 20 years, your HVAC system will need repair. Won't it? Okay? Why do we act like that's an attack of the devil? When our car breaks down or the dishwasher fails, that's not an attack of the devil. It's just called Chinese parts. Christians, I love you. I love you so much. But sometimes we spiritualize things and we're not taking the basic wisdom of an ant, and we're spiritualizing something that we ought to have the wisdom to deal with. Amen. So here, I'm giving you that God gives us permission and encourages us. As a matter of fact, almost calls us a sluggard if we don't, wants us to have money set aside for a rainy day. And so things like 403 or B's, 401Ks, Roth IRAs, whatever kind of saving plan that you have, hopefully you have a financial advisor. If you don't have one, come talk to me. Mine is awesome. I'll give you his name and number. I mean, he is awesome. But most of us don't know all the tax loopholes. Most of us don't know all the ins and outs of money and saving. And, you know, most of us are doing good just to have a 401k and put a little money in here or there. But talk with someone who's an expert. They can help you. You say, well, I don't make that much money. That's your problem. You see, it doesn't take a lot of money right now if you've compounded over 20, 30 years. Hello. So we need to have a vision for our whole life to say, you know what, when it comes to money, I'm not just living for this week's groceries. And that's why when the price of eggs goes up, so many people squawking like a bunch of chickens, bagah, bagah, bagah. Going to the grocery store, I like, bagah, 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 you know, milk, bagah, eggs, bagah, fill up your tank, bagah. Why are we squawking? Because we only had a vision for today. And we're living in an unfair system where prices go up and down, and inflation and deflation and interest rates. Because we live in a broken system, so I'm trying to teach you how to get into a system that's not broke. And a system that is fair. Okay? So, vision for today, that's the first level of vision. And if you have that vision, praise God, you're better than a lot. But I want to at least you have a vision for a lifetime. I've heard people say money can't buy happiness. You're right. Money can buy fishing poles, though. And lures. That's pretty close. Am I right? Listen, I heard, you know, people living on love. Andrew and I used to live on love. We did. We made it. We had a lot of love. But I'll tell you what, it's a little more fun when you're not living paycheck to paycheck. And it does enable you to do good things. Wouldn't it be nice if the next time a water heater goes out, the washer machine breaks down, you don't have to consider that a major attack of the devil when it throws you back in your financial plan a month. You're already set. You're already there. Number three, third level of vision, a vision for generations to come. This is in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. I want to help you. A wise man leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren. I love the second part of this, the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. That's a good thing to pray, by the way. You, Lord, I thank you for the wealth transfer from the sinner to the righteous. I thank you that wicked wealth in Putnam County is being transferred to Soul Harvest Church. Praise God. Amen. Thank you for that supernatural wealth transfer. But a good man. Now, any of us feel like you're good people? I'll tell you, I've never met someone who didn't think they were a good person, or their mama didn't think they were a good person at least. Yeah, I'm a good person. Well, a good person leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren. Now watch this. So now the first level of vision is for your needs today. The second level of vision is for the rest of your life, provision for your whole life. Because most of, and I mean this, I mean this humbly, but Brian, you know, I don't want to see, now there's nothing wrong with working as a greeter at Walmart, but I don't want you, when you're 80 years old, greeting at Walmart because you have to. Now, if you want to, that's, you know, Becky's done with you, get out of the house, Go do something. I don't want to look at you. You're annoying to me. You know, marriage just brings out the best in us, doesn't it? I mean, it's like, before you have, never mind. But I want you in a position that when you get to that point where your natural body does not want to do a 40 or 50 hour a week job, that you can be in a position to choose. Now, if you're like some, you know, right now, because there's such a huge employee deficit, what I've seen is some of the more senior citizens who have retired have been drawn back into the workforce because there's a labor shortage, and they say, well, their old work is like, we really need you. We really need, or sometimes you just choose to say, hey, I wanna work a little longer. That's great. But that's your choice. And for me, I plan on preaching a long time. But ladies and gentlemen, I know, you know, based on how you receive my jokes, I know if I'm preaching up here at 80 years old and I've got drool coming down the side of my mouth, you ain't staying. You'll give me one service. If that happens again, Mildred, we're out of here. You know, even preachers are the worst at this. Preachers think we're going to live forever. We think we're going to be invincible forever, and we think the anointing is going to carry us. Man, read your Bible. Even great preachers die. I don't want to die for a long time. But praise God, there's going to come a time I'm going to put off this earth suit. You know, don't pull me back. I'm on my way to be with Jesus, you know. But a wise person, now watch this, not only do they have enough for today, not only do they have enough to encompass their life, they have enough to leave something not only to their children, but they've saved up enough. They've learned how money works, that they're able to leave an inheritance, not just to their kids, but there's enough for the grandkids. Be careful about how many grandkids you pray for. Some of y'all be like, I got 87 grandkids. They're all going to get 250. But so this, now you're seeing legacy. Now you're seeing beyond your life. It's okay to have a financial testimony where you have saved up enough money over your lifetime that you can retire and enjoy retirement. And then when you go from this earth, you can give something to your children and your grandchildren. Now, I know the greatest inheritance we can give them is a spiritual one. One of the greatest joys I have as a pastor, I won't say joy, maybe that's not the right word. But there are times I do a funeral for a saint, someone who lived for God, clearly demonstrated. And one of the greatest treasures that those saints leave behind is their Bibles. You know, B left several Bibles that were all marked up and just spoke volumes to her children and grandchildren of her faith in Christ. Levada's Bible, you know, Billy, was just so marked up, and it just spoke volumes of her relationship with Christ. And those highlighted scriptures were a treasure map for you and the kids to follow, to say, this is what was important to Mom. The greatest inheritance you can leave your children and your grandchildren is a spiritual one. Don't ever mistake that. Grandparents, I'm not as interested in you being the cool grandparent as I am you being the praying grandparent. Now, try not to be annoying about it, but at the same time, it is your duty to see to it that your grandchildren know Christ. And yes, my grandparents were a little bit eccentric at times, and sometimes they were pushy with their faith, and I probably got baptized a little too early because they pushed me to get baptized. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here today because my grandparents and those around me that were older than me prayed me into the kingdom. And that when I was on a first name basis with the sheriff of Guernsey County, Ohio, they didn't give up on me. They prayed harder. So give those children, those grandchildren, a spiritual inheritance, but some money don't hurt. Now, how much should it be? Now, there's a great book we read about 6 years ago as a congregation, 7 years ago. Actually, I think it's been 8 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long. It's called The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. We read it together at the church. Great book. And Randy Alcorn says, hey, don't leave your grandchildren anything. I said, well, I want to be careful with that. I agree with him on most things. But I think we got scripture right there that tells us, you want to impact your kids? You want your kids not to have to struggle like you struggle? Or your grandkids? Give them a head up in life. Amen. And lastly, and number four, a vision for eternity. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 22. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now make no mistake about it. In heaven, there is treasure. Okay? It might look a little different than our treasure here on earth, but I have to believe it's going to be better than what we have on earth. Lay your treasure above. So we need to have a vision for our lives, not just to eat today, not just for ourselves to be able to retire, not just to give our own lineage a blessing, but we need to have a vision that says, I'm going to make an impact for eternity. And we do that by laying our treasures above. And so when we live our lives, I want to live with my eyes open to the fact that I am going to live forever. I want you to live with your eyes open that you are going to live forever. You're an eternal being. And of course, that starts, the best part of that starts when you ask Jesus to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. That's where that starts. But then we see, I believe it's right around 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that really spells this out. We're going to stand before Jesus and give an account for our lives. And we're going to be rewarded for our works accordingly. And we see there will be people that have different varying amounts of reward or treasure in heaven. The scriptures clearly teach this. So as I'm living my life, I'm thinking, yeah, I want to have my churches have 403Bs. That's a different, but 401K. I want my 401K, my retirement plan, to have enough that when I get to be 80 years old, I can't stand going to Walmart now. I'm definitely not going then to work there. Okay? I don't want to be in the position to do that. I don't want you to be either. But I want to see even beyond retirement to when we all get to, we sang this morning that song about going to heaven. We all see Jesus. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to have, for all of eternity, I want to have lived my life that I want to be the bling bling guy in heaven. Amen. And some of you prayer warriors, some of you other, I want you to have that vision that you're not just living for this life, but your vision extends into heaven, that you want to have treasure in heaven. That's a great place to say amen. You all heard about the miracle mansion in heaven, didn't you? There was a guy, person, got saved, went to heaven, and says, hey, I'm here to check in. And Peter says, we're so glad you're here. I says, oh, great. Peter says, I'm going to show you to your mansion. And he says, oh, that's awesome. And so they take off down the first street, and there's just these beautiful mansions, the biggest mansions, the most beautiful mansions, decked with ornate jewels and metals and lakes and ponds and landscape, beautiful colors. And he's just like, wow, I'm so excited. They kept going a couple more miles, and they turned down a couple more roads, and now the houses aren't quite as big. They don't have quite as many decorations or, you know, landscapes and that type of thing. And then they keep going and keep going, and finally the houses get kind of almost like what they were on earth. The guy's like, oh, okay. Well, then they keep driving or walking, whatever they're doing, flying. I'm making this up as I go. And they finally get to this gravel road. This is not theologically accurate, but just. And down this gravel road are some old shacks. The doors are falling off. And they're just, it's like the slums of heaven. And Peter says, here's your house. And the guy says, what? Peter, what are you talking about? He says, this is a miracle mansion. The guy says, it's a miracle mansion. It looks like a slum to me. And Peter says, no, it's a miracle mansion. With the amount of supplies you sent up here, it's a miracle we got it this nice. And that's a little bit of a joke there, but it does highlight the fact that we do have the opportunity to lay our treasures above by being eternally minded in the body of Christ. And I want to just, as we close it out today, four levels of vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, you're doing good if you have a vision for today. I'm proud of you. If you're working to make a living, you're trying to do the right thing. You're showing up when you don't feel like showing up. You guys are paying the bills. That's the first level of vision. But there's more. I want you to have a vision for your lifetime. Start making more than you need and putting some away. I want you to have a vision for your children and grandchildren. Now, if you'll read some books and get with a financial advisor and you learn how money works, it works a little bit different than you think it does. And if you can start early enough, you can make money work for you. If you're in your 20s, if you're in your 30s, and you say, well, I don't make very much money, listen to your pastor. Okay, I want you to listen to me with everything you've got. Don't wait another week. Tomorrow, when you're supposed to be working, I want you to take a break and look up and go talk, make an appointment with a financial planner. Because in your 20s or 30s, you don't have to make a lot of money to make money work for you. Start young. But I need a car, I need a house, I need a microwave. Yeah, but when you're 70, you're gonna need some money more than you need a microwave right now. Hear me. If you're 20 or 30 and you don't have a plan, get one right now. Now, by the time you retire, I probably won't be here, but when we get to heaven, you can thank me. Then there's a vision for your grandchildren to have an inheritance. And then lastly, I hope you have a vision for eternity. And when you give in the offering, ladies and gentlemen, when you sow your seed, you're sowing into eternity. And that's why I think it's so important that we use the offering system as an act of worship and as understanding. This isn't just throwing money away. this is one of the greatest investments you can make that pays dividends, not just for the next few years, but it pays eternally. Amen. So that's our message for today. Next week, we're going to start breaking down the tithe, the offering, the sacrifice, and the seed. And then the two more services we'll have after that, we're going to talk about the difference between a financial miracle and a financial harvest. And then lastly, we're going to talk about breaking the spirit of poverty, how to get over a lifetime mentality. Poverty's up here. This is where poverty exists, right here. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so we have to change the way we think. And trust me, I know. Let's pray for you today. Father, we thank you for the word that's been shared today. Lord, we thank you for teaching us and encouraging us. Lord, we ask you to help us to be wise, to be good stewards of the resources you've given us. And Lord, right now, I pray that our vision is opened. I pray that our vision is able to see heavenly things, heavenly plans. Lord, that we're looking beyond our immediate need. And all God's people said, amen. We love you so much. We'll see you out there in the foyer, and we'll see you soon.